BBC Radio 4. Now time for Tweet of the Day. This morning, we wanted to bring you the striking sounds of the Amazonian plum-throated Katinga. But our plans were scuppered by the sounds of an altogether different flying creature. That's right. The bloody drone at Gatwick grounded my flight. So this morning's episode of Tweet of the Day comes from the departures area of Gatwick at 6 a.m. Listen out for the agitated warbling of someone trying to take matters into their own hands.
Give me 10 minutes and a sharpened Toblerone and I'll get the bastard out of the air.
I'm with you, mate. If I ever get my hands on the people who did this, they'll think David the chimpanzee got off lightly. Dead ringers.
This is a special BBC News broadcast. I'm Hugh Edwards, the shiny bauble atop the Christmas tree of news. I know you were about to switch the news off until January, but wait, stop what you're doing and listen to this. Jeremy Corbyn may have muttered under his breath that Theresa May was a stupid woman. We've got a helicopter circling over the House of Commons for no apparent reason, because this is that humongous a news story. We've correspondents standing by across the country. Sophie Raworth is in Leeds City Centre. What are the scenes there, Sophie?
Well, there's just some people doing their Christmas shopping, Hugh.
And are they rocked to their core by this humongous breaking news?
Not really, no, Hugh. They're just doing their shopping.
I'm joined here in the studio now by one of Britain's leading lip readers. Can you tell us exactly what Jeremy Corbyn said?
I think he said poopy kibble.
You're no fun. Go away. Jeremy Vine, can you inject a note of hysteria into this?
Indeed I can, Hugh. Look, I'm inside Jeremy Corbyn's mouth. Now, I feel like a news Pinocchio. Swallowed by an old lefty whale. Not a blue whale, a red one. Oh, there's a filling. There's a bit of halloumi. And as his lips begin to move, I'm thrown into his throat by his big furry tongue. Down, down I go. I don't think I'll ever be a real boy now.
Just 4 more hours of this guff and I can clock off and spend the next 9 days on the sofa in my big boy pants, not saying the words backstop customs union or Laura Koonsberg until January. Get in!
You're watching BBC Breakfast. I'm Steph McGovern. You want to take this outside? Victorian Pepper Army Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Oh, gosh, a northerner. Do you know, I've never actually met one in the wild before.
Oh, shut your noise, you trust fund twiglet. Last week, the Tories tabled a motion of no confidence against Theresa May, and you supported it. But this week, Jezza tables one and you oppose it. Explain yourself.
Stephanie, it couldn't be simpler. Theresa May is a pathetic, busted flush of a Prime Minister who has my undying devotion. She is a brilliant Prime Minister whom I sincerely hope falls down a well.
Out of way, man. You give me a right cob on.
I'm terribly sorry, Stephanie, but I don't speak Northern.
Well, let's hope you can speak jiu-jitsu. Jacob Rees-Mogg, it's been an absolute pleasure, you two-faced weasel.
Shut up, losers. I called you all here to announce my decision to remove our troops from Syria. I love the troops, the straight ones, and that's it. And I think they can be used much better back home to help imprison the worst enemies of the United States. Tiny Mexican babies. Very bad bambinos. Tiny hands. It's creepy. I made this decision to pull out of Syria unilaterally, which means near a college. Some people have said that ISIS are still in Syria. They're wrong. How can they be if I can't see them? Things only exist when I can actually see them. That's just physics. I make all my best decisions on my own, like turning the Oval Office into two big ovals with nipply things in the middle. I can just hover in my helicopter all day long looking at two big boobies. And I hope that answers your questions on the war in Syria.
You're listening to PM with me, Evan Davis, currently in between shifts as one of Santa's little helpers at Debenhams of Hemel Hempstead. Jeremy Corbyn is at the centre of a huge controversy about what he may or may not have muttered during Prime Minister's questions, after TV cameras appeared to show him saying something interesting. I'm joined now by Diane Abbott.
Evan. The very idea that Jeremy would say something interesting in the House of Commons is utterly absurd.
So you don't believe the allegations?
Evan, the fact is that Jeremy has been an MP for 35 years, and in that time, he has never once said anything that could be construed as in any way interesting.
Well, the only person who will ever really know is Jeremy Corbyn himself. This was his statement in the Commons several hours later.
Mr. Speaker, I have been asked to clarify what I said during Prime Minister's question time earlier today. I did not say something interesting. I said something dull and inconsequential, probably about collective bargaining or potholes, the usual guff. Although I may have said poopy kibble. Thank you.
In a world filled with death and despair, there is one group of British superheroes dedicated to uphold all that is good and decent. Sir Ian McKellen. Open the gates to Mordor! Sir Patrick Stewart.
Open hailing frequencies, Mr. Riker.
Dame Judi Dench.
Open fire, Commander Bond.
And Sir Alan Bennett.
Open up the patio doors, Gladys. I'm melting in this wool polyester mix.
They are the National Treasures. The National Treasures have been summoned to their secret base deep beneath BAFTA headquarters.
Right, now gather round, daughters. Now, about that Brexit film trailer with Benedict Cumberbund Banderchest, what's his name? How Leave won.
Oh, yes. The story of the most unlikely victory since Helen Mirren beat me to an Olivier Award in 2013. I forgive, but I don't forget.
What has that got to do with us?
Well, Ducky, it means that the next Brexit drama is bound to be about Theresa May. And it's up to us to work out which national treasure should play her. I think the answer is obvious. Don't you agree, Dame Judi?
I certainly do.
Exactly, me. Now,
the thing... what? But you're completely unsuitable. You're
a... I know what you're going to say, love. I'm a Remainer. I know it's going to be tough, so naturally, I will have to act myself into the part of a raging Brexiteer. After all, so did she.
Not so fast, you old ham. If anyone is playing Theresa May, it's me. Playing Captain Picard was the perfect preparation. Though her five-year mission to seek out new life and prevent it from coming to Britain was slightly different.
This is ridiculous. I should play it, of course. I'll bring great subtlety to the part. I'll bring out the thoughtful, vulnerable woman beneath the crusty exterior.
Are you joking?
Of course I am. I'll stick on a fright wig and play it like Mrs. Overall in Acorn Antiques.
Curse you, Dench. That's how I was going to play her.
And me.
Oh, no. It's the someone else has got the part alarm.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. It's bloody Olivia Colman. She's in everything at the moment. It's The Crown, Watership Down, my grandson's school nativity play.
No, no. They've just cast Alexa in the role. That electric gubbins that sits in the corner and says it listens but does nothing of the sort.
Brexit means Brexit. Strong and stable. No Irish backstop.
Nothing. My God, it's uncanny.
Changed. Nothing.
My God, she's
nothing
good. She's bloody
changed
good.
Next time on the National Treasures, our
changed
team of lovely nothing superheroes audition for the part nothing of Jeremy Corbyn
changed
by hiding nothing under the table and pretending
changed
to be dead.
Welcome to Newsnight. Thank you, Next. Thank you, Next. Thank you, Next. I'm so freaking grateful for my ex. More on that story later. Joining me now is Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell.
Hello, Kirsty, you metropolitan elite latte-enjoying scab.
Mr. McDonnell, Keir Starmer has said all options are on the table. Barry Gardiner has said a second referendum is not off the table. Isn't it time you took a position and dropped the vague table metaphors?
The table is not a metaphor, Kirsty.
It's not a metaphor? Well, how can it not be a metaphor?
Hang on. Oh, excuse what me a minute. See?
What is that?
It's not a metaphor, it's a real table.
Looks like a total mess.
Here is the second referendum. As you can see, it's not on the table or off the table. It's here on the extendable leaf of ambiguity, having been moved from under here, the magazine shelf of cowardice.
Very complicated.
No, it only looks complicated because all options are on it, even insane ones. Like these, the four nesting tables of electoral appeal. Each with a different option on them. Like this one, the lazy Susan of WTO rules. Or this one, doilies of a Norwegian-backed soft Brexit military coup.
What did you just say?
It doesn't matter, you don't need to know.
Right, what's going on here? I heard somebody using outlandishly silly ways to illustrate possible political outcomes. Now that's a Jeremy Vine thing and you've stolen it! Like the swarm of winged monkeys. Whoa! They're swooping down and snatching Theresa May's weird puffer jacket. Oh.
It's not an illustration, it's real. Oh, you've made the whole thing seem silly and ridiculous. I'm leaving and I'm taking the table.
What a horrible, confused mishmash.
Wait a minute. That's the most coherent Brexit policy we've ever had. I'm off to call Jeremy. Merry Christmas, you treacherous liberal media pigs.
We interrupt this broadcast for a very important message from Wetherspoons.
Hello, this is Tim Martin. I'm speaking to you via Wetherspoons to tell you that Brexit is going wrong. The Tories have completely botched this up. Therefore, I am proposing to form a new government of national unity. Let me introduce you via speakerphone to my cabinet, assembled from the most famous Brexiteers in the world. Say hello to my Chancellor of the Exchequer. Michael has some very exciting plans about pumping money into the economy, haven't you, Michael?
Yes. I remember from one of my old films, we stole a lot of money from a bank in Italy. We left it in the end of a bus on the edge of a cliff. I proposed getting in touch with my old friend Benny Hill, who was also in the movie, and see if he could remember where we put it.
Fantastic. Now meet my employment secretary, Joan Collins.
I have a very simple solution to unemployment. Marriage. If everyone becomes my husband, we will have a skills-based economy based on handbag carrying, nodding and staying quiet.
Now to my Brexit secretary, Mr. Cleese.
Look, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's the prospect of a huge divorce bill.
Now we can start by making Britain a great and sovereign land again. Michael, Joan, John, all you have to do is just move back to Britain and we can start.
You're watching Film 4, and now a 2018 remake of the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life.
So here I am, alone in my £25,000 shed. It feels like the country's forgotten all about me. I wonder what Britain would be like if David Cameron had never existed. Who are you?
Why, I'm Clarence. You're a guardian angel. Come with me.
Where are we?
We're in the home of a British family. Look, they're just sitting down to Christmas lunch.
But they're not shouting at each other.
Because you never called the referendum. So there's no Brexit to argue about. Dad hasn't said anything about immigrants, so his daughter hasn't called him a fascist cockwomble.
Where are we now?
The high street. Look how full and busy the shops are. No stockpiling of medicine, no army on standby. Everyone looks so happy, not terrified about what's gonna happen.
Oh, you know, I'm beginning to see what you're driving at. Where are we now?
A radio station in Thanet.
No, let me finish. That was the final countdown by a band I despise, Europe. Now, time for the headlines.
You see, without Brexit, that loutish Boris Farage just sinks into obscurity. Now, do you understand, David?
Yes, Clarence. I see now that if I'd never existed...
Yes?
Life in Britain would be much, much worse.
No, you idiot! It would have been better!
Oh, Merry Christmas, soldiers on the street! Merry Christmas, food banks! Merry Christmas, everyone!
Screw this. I'm gonna show Ed Miliband what life would have been like if he'd chosen the egg mayo sandwich instead.
This Christmas on the BBC, following Gary Lineker's controversial anti-Brexit Twitter outbursts, other hosts are dropping their impartiality and getting in on all the fun of saying what they really think.
Welcome to Newsnight. Oh, what the hell, it's Christmas. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a way better TV show than this shower of shite. And Kim is the best Kardashian, not Chloe. I'll fight you, I'll fight all of yous.
Hello again, and tonight on Country File, I'm glad David Bowie's dead, and I only like pizza if it's Hawaiian. Welcome to the moral maze. And I'll just come out and say it. Comic Sans is the best font. It's light, it's fun, and it takes the sting out of a harsh workplace sign.
That's all for Question of Sport this year. Have a very Merry Christmas and bring back hanging. See you in the new year.
Hello, welcome to Gardener's Question Time. It's not incest if you're cousins.
Christmas is my favourite time of year for baking. Also, a hard Brexit will be God's way of thinning the herd.
Christmas on the BBC. I hate David Attenborough, and I throw plastic straws into the sea just to spite him.
This is Theresa May. Please leave a message, and if it's urgent, I'll delay getting back to you for a month.
Hey, Maymoo, it's Gooby Gooby. Just calling to issue a Merry Crimbles and a Happy Hollybobs. Just a heads up, Tay-Tay. I may have had too many eggnog margaritas when writing my Christmas cards. Now, with yours, instead of writing Merry Christmas, babes, I put, I have no confidence in Theresa May's leadership. And instead of posting it like to you, I sent it to the 1922 committee. What am I like? Mega lols. Anyways, bye-bye-bye, Gooby.
You're listening to Today with me, Nick Robinson.
And me, Martha Carney.
The headlines. There's been massive disruption at Gatwick after two unauthorised craft breached its airspace. One described as a drone about the size of your hand, and the other a sleigh pulled by eight magical reindeers.
Passengers at Gatwick have described being forced to sleep on the floor and being given no assistance by staff, in scenes described by one passenger as still better than Ryanair.
It's been revealed that Jose Mourinho lived at the Lowry Hotel for his whole spell managing Manchester United at a cost of over £500,000, making it his biggest waste of money since every single signing he made at Man United.
And as the government prepares for a no-deal Brexit, many are saying a second referendum is more urgent than ever. Joining me now is a... Oh, I'm so sorry. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Vince Cable?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Cable. Mr. Cable, how do you respond to claims that there simply isn't time to hold a second referendum?
Well, that's true, Martha, which is why we've come up with an ingenious solution. We're going to do the entire second referendum as a montage.
A montage?
You know, where something that would normally take ages is achieved in a very short time. Like when Rocky has to train for the big fight, or when that girl in Dirty Dancing has to learn to be a mucky ballerina.
But we now know there is a wealth of complex information relating to Brexit. How will you get it across to the public?
Well, we're going to put it on the front page of a newspaper, and then the paper will spin towards you really fast and stop suddenly on a headline.
But how will you show the public how little time we have left?
Well, we'll have a diary with the pages being ripped out until you get to March the 29th, which will obviously be circled in red.
But I'm sorry, Mr. Cable, but I just don't think this is going to... What's that noise?
Yes, that's our inspirational montage music. You're feeling more excited already, aren't you?
Actually, you're right. Yes, I am.
And we've got a secret weapon, the most powerful thing in any montage. An old man shouting insults at you while making you do press-ups.
And who's that going to be?
Who do you think, you no-good punk? Now drop down and give me 20.
You're watching BBC One, and we have good news and bad news. The good news is we have a lovely, funny, heartwarming adaptation of a book written by David Walliams. The bad news is he's in it. But now it's time for the Doctor Who New Year special.
OK, this is our New Year special. So, keep your wits about you for sinister alien plots that have some tenuous link with the new year.
Oh, it's a bit limited, though, isn't it, Doc?
What do you mean?
Well, at least for Christmas specials, they had, like, evil Santas, murderous Christmas trees and flesh-eating mince pies. There's not a lot you can do with New Year.
Don't be so sure.
Like what?
Evil fireworks, big clocks that do stuff, aliens that can count down from 10 before they zap you.
You see, it's rubbish. Let's do a Christmas one.
Just you wait. I've landed in a place long associated with New Year, souls lost in time, forced to do the same thing for all eternity.
Thank you very much. Welcome to my hootenanny.
See what I mean? This is Jules Oland, the evil genius who keeps his victims trapped in the black dimensions known as Hootenanny.
Florence and the Machine, everyone!
Stay away from him, everybody. He will entice you with a chance to meet Paul Weller. But soon you'll be perched on uncomfortable chairs, drinking coloured water and listening to Boogie Woogie until the end of time.
Paloma Faith, everybody!
We've got to get these poor celebrities out of here.
There's nowhere to run. There's only an old James Bond film on ITV3 and a documentary about Fleetwood Mac on BBC 4. You've no choice but to sit frog-eyed at me bouncing my bottom on a piano and shouting, Alison Moye, everyone! Alison Moye!
Next time on Doctor Who...
Oh, no! We've ended up in the most hostile environment of them all.
Oh, I told you not to open Twitter.
This is the 10 o'clock news with me, Hugh Edwards, or as I'm known in the boxing ring, the Gorgon from Glamorgan. With Brexit now extending beyond the year, people are resorting to more and more extreme measures to stop hearing about it. Over to our European editor, Katja Adler, who's with a man putting himself into a voluntary coma in a hospital in Luxembourg. Let me guess, Katja, you're with Jean-Claude Juncker?
No, Hugh, I'm here with Donald Tusk, President of the European Council.
Yes, we are both so very bored of Brexit, but I let Jean-Claude knock himself out cold first. Sorry about that, Kat.
What are your thoughts on delaying the meaningful vote until next year?
It has left me totally flat, Kat.
But isn't putting yourself into a coma incredibly dangerous?
Yes, but it is nowhere near as insufferable as the alternative.
It appears Jean-Claude isn't quite out yet.
If I can just cut in there, Katya, what if, theoretically, Theresa May were to have to fly back for further clarifications on the Brexit deal?
Must you incessantly worsen my mood with this Brexit boogaloo? Please allow me 1 month of peace being fed through a tube. Get me back to sleep now. Donald, eat me with that bedpan and I'll eat you with this one. Allez, allez.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Juncker.
And Merry Christmas to you, Hugh.
Good evening. Welcome to the Antiques Roadshow. I'm Fiona Bruce, taking plum jobs from old white men since 1990. Now, let's go over to Henry Sandon, who's got something quite remarkable.
Now, what have you brought in for us today?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me.
Well, it's rather an old-fashioned piece, although it's enjoyed a surprising resurgence of late.
So what is it?
It's called a Rees-Mogg.
Oh, we used to keep it in the garage next to the spanners, but the dog kept weeing on it. Can you tell me what this key at the back does?
Oh, let's try it, shall we?
Nanny, I'm ready for my sponge bath now.
How charming. I suspect you're wondering about valuation.
Yes.
Well, it does have a very impressive veneer, but I'm afraid it's a worthless fake. You see, it looks like it comes from the 18th century, but it's actually younger than Kylie Minogue.
What do you think I should do with it, then?
Do you still have your dog? Why not put it back in the garage, then?
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Yes, I'm still here. But I steadfastly refuse to change course. Like the captain of the Titanic, confident I can get further concessions out of the iceberg we've just hit. Have a very Merry Christmas and a scared, witless New Year.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howe, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bark, Max Davis, Jack Bernhardt, Simon Alcock, Edward Chu, Sarah Gibbs, Vivian Riddock and Jane McCutcheon. It was a BBC Studios production, and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.